For some of you, the offseason started a few weeks ago. For others, it started on Monday night for the New Orleans Saints. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much. As always, make a Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget, we're free and available on all podcast apps, including on YouTube as well. I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, your New Orleans Saints expert, credential member of the media, CrescentCitySports.com, USA Today Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. On today's episode, the season could be over, or kind of is over, for the New Orleans Saints. So what's next? There are some big decisions looming for the New Orleans Saints brass, but first, it's a new low for the New Orleans Saints. Just when you thought that maybe that 13-0 shutout was as bad as it was going to get for the New Orleans Saints, they blow a 13-point lead with 5 minutes, 21 seconds, really just over 3 minutes by the time that first touchdown was scored by a driving and marching Tom Brady, to lose this game 17-16 after holding firm to a lead 16-3 for the majority of this game. The New Orleans Saints allowed basically 3 points on the first 8 drives against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but then gave up 14 in the final 2 drives. Tom Brady had just over 160 passing yards up until those final 2 drives, in which he added an additional 118, and then the unfortunately aforementioned 14 points on top of that. So this is kind of a new low for the New Orleans Saints, and this is a situation to where you start to look and feel like, okay, this is the most dejected we've seen this Saints team. And I thought maybe last week up against the San Francisco 49ers was going to be what that sort of moment was, right? Like that was the bottom, that was a new low. But for all intents and purposes, the Saints out here on Raymond James Stadium, or at Raymond James Stadium, should have walked away with a win in this one. I mean, they forced 2 turnovers, but didn't turn the ball over themselves. They had 5 explosive plays on the day, only allowed 2, one of which was just over a 10-yard run, by the way, because your explosive plays are 10 yards or more on the ground. As David Harrison of Locked On Bucks and I were discussing earlier, when you look at the stat sheet and you look at pretty much everything but those final 2 drives, it sort of feels like the Saints should have won this game, but they weren't able to close it out late. Why did that happen? Well, there's 2 different ways that you can look at it. And really, I've seen people arguing that it's one more than the other. It's both. The first of which is that you saw a New Orleans Saints team that scored only 16 points, which meant that they also came up empty in terms of touchdowns on 3 red zone possessions, 0 of 3, settled for field goals, 9 points there, which could have been 21. So you're effectively at that point leaving 12 points just out there. And that ended up being a huge deal. You score one of those touchdowns, as Andy Dalton observed in his postgame presser, that's a 5-point lead after the last touchdown with a field with an extra point waiting to narrow it down to a 4-point victory for the New Orleans Saints. That's a massive drop off in terms of what the potential could have been over in the offensive side and what it wasn't. And we've seen this time and time again, the New Orleans Saints unable to finish drives in the red zone. It's been a consistent issue for them, and it has been one that has kind of plagued this team throughout the season, and is one that's honestly confusing to me, because starting off for the season, they were fantastic in that area. And one of the things that, you know, they had highlighted was their ability to score points. And as of late, we haven't really seen that. The other piece that you look at in terms of the offense not being able to score was the offense also not being able to get a first down. You watched on a 2nd and 8 or so, Mark Ingram run out 1 yard shy of a first down, and then 3rd and 1. And let's be real, like that had to do with an injury. He got hurt and he ran himself off the field. He posted an apology to his teammates, to his organization, and even to the city. So there you go. Mark Ingram apologized to New Orleans before Anthony Davis took time to thank New Orleans. And what you saw there was him basically dealing with an injury, running out of bounds a yard early. And then what happened the very next play? They call a slant and they put the ball in the air as opposed to throwing the football. The old Russell Wilson, or the old, well, I guess it wasn't. Yeah. Yeah, the old Russell Wilson. That's exactly right. Not going with Marshawn Lynch. You're Marshawn Lynch in this situation on a 3rd and 1. Absolutely Taysom Hill. And instead, they decide to throw the ball. Comes up incomplete. 4th and 1 on your own 44. Go for it, right? Nope. The Saints punted it away. Then you look at their inability to convert a first down when it came to, you know, turning the ball back over after that first 2-minute drill sort of drive that resulted in touchdown, narrowed the lead to within 6 points, 10-16. And the Saints not able to put it together long enough to keep the ball in their hands and out of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' hands. One of the big keys to this game that we talked about was the New Orleans Saints needing to play keep away, needing to play the ball control game. Didn't do it when it was at its most important during this game. 12-play drive at one point, came up with 3 points. So you saw the offense leaving points on the field, not being able to keep the ball in their hands in the most pivotal moments. On the opposite side of that, a defense unable to stop Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I get it. It's Tom Brady, but the Saints have done it before. The Saints have stopped him before. You think about the PJ Williams pick six in the Superdome last year, all of those things. They have found ways to limit this offense, and they did it over and over and over again, drive in, drive out, all throughout this game, up until it was at its most important. One of the other things that I'll point out over on the offensive side was you saw like a big 2nd and 10 late in the game where Andy Dalton took a very just ill-timed sack. And during that play, you had Kirk Merritt on the field, who I think is an incredibly athletic and talented player, but he's not one of your star players in a time to where you need to put the game away. And they were trying to run a route that was specifically designed to Taysom Hill. And we saw Taysom Hill get many opportunities, another drop pass down. He took a big hit, but another drop pass down the seam that could have been a big moment for them to extend their drive and potentially put the game away. But where was Chris Olave? Where was Rashid Shaheed? Where was Alvin Kamara in that part of the game plan where you're trying to ice this game and put it away? I made this observation during the postcast. You're so used to watching the New Orleans Pelicans now, if you're a New Orleans sports fan. And what are one of the things that you always see with that? And we see this all the time in basketball. They have closers. They have players that are the ones that are out there when the game matters most. Why the New Orleans Saints continuously take their superstar players off the field in moments that matter most is beyond me. So there's a couple of different things that you can point to here, but really, it's a collection of all of it. You have a 13-point lead, 2 drives in with less than 3 minutes left or just over 3 minutes left in the game. You got to be able to put that away. You get the ball back in your hands on the offensive side and an opportunity to ice the game. You got to be able to ice the game. Both went wrong and both end up being a pretty massive indictment on head coach Dennis Allen, maybe the biggest indictment on him thus far. Lots of key people exasperated after this loss, and it was a brutal one here in Raymond James Stadium. So that's going to lead to some big decisions that are going to have to be made at head coach, at coordinator roles, and beyond. So what are some of those big decisions that the New Orleans Saints make? Where would I go? Where do I think they will go? We'll break all that down as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by our friends over at LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs is absolutely your number one destination when it comes to looking for jobs. But did you know if you're looking to hire, LinkedIn Jobs can get you taken care of there as well. And you can post your job for free in the process of doing it. It doesn't end there. They give you a bunch of tools and everything too to make sure that you are getting the quality hires and quality candidates that you want to talk to and that you're getting to them faster. This is one of the things that has made LinkedIn voted number one when it comes to small businesses in returning your quality candidates versus all of the leading competitors that are out there. They also give you tools like screening questions to make sure you're getting folks that are the right experience, that are exactly what it is, maybe culture fits, things like that you're looking for your organization. So LinkedIn Jobs is here to help make sure that you talk to the candidates that you want to talk to, the qualified ones, faster than ever before. You can post your job for free today over at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. Once again, that is linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. What are some of the big decisions that the New Orleans Saints are going to have to make maybe before this season is out and certainly into the offseason? We're going to break that all down as we continue on with today's episode. Once again, we appreciate you so much for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget, also make sure your second listen today is Locked On Sports Today. Get all the news from around the world of sports. Brought to you by the local experts, giving you the local angle, local insights that only Locked On can provide. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts, on YouTube, or, well, wherever you get your podcasts. Appreciate you, as always, for being here with us. New Orleans Saints are going to have some big decisions to make over the course of the offseason, and honestly, they might have some big decisions that they need to at least start gathering some information on before this season is out. What are some of those things? Well, we have to start, of course, at the very top with Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen, New Orleans Saints head coach, now 4-9, secures the New Orleans Saints' first losing season since the 2016 season. Ouch. Yikes. Everything kind of had a big turnaround for the New Orleans Saints starting in 2017. Dennis Allen was a part of that over on the defensive side, sort of finally being able to kind of build the defense that he really wanted, getting Marcus Williams in the draft, getting Marshawn Lattimore in the draft, so on and so forth. But really, now that he's moved into this head coaching role, a lot of eyes are on him, of course, because he's the most important position when it comes to the coaching staff. And fans have sort of already been calling for his job from, well, weeks ago. Could the New Orleans Saints be leaning that way as well? I personally think that it would take a big time philosophy shift. Maybe the New Orleans Saints decide, you know what we need is an offensive head coach as opposed to a defensive head coach. If that were the case, then it would make a ton of sense that the New Orleans Saints would then go in a different direction in terms of what they want to do at head coach and what that could mean for Dennis Allen moving forward. I personally would make that decision if I'm being 100% honest. I think that you've seen now what it is that Dennis Allen is, what he brings you, all of that. You have to make the decision as an organization whether or not that works or fits for you. Is the culture, is the continuity, is the cohesion, or those things, kind of the idea or the facade of those things, more important than the translatable success or lack of success that you've seen so far from this team, which is now 4-9. When there were so many big sort of, what do I call them, expectations going into this season, that hasn't necessarily been what this team has translated into in terms of finding success thus far. The next piece that you're going to be looking at when it comes to all of this is, is that really what the organization is going to do, right? And if the organization isn't going to go that way because they believe so much in continuity, they believe so much in terms of that cohesion, then what are some of the other changes that they make? This is the route that I think the Saints probably go going into next year. They very likely give Dennis Allen a second season, give him a chance to maybe kind of build the roster a little bit more in terms of what it is that he's looking for, get his quarterback, find his offensive coordinator, and then potentially make some changes there. That's where I think the Saints will likely make changes. We'll be at the coordinator roles, maybe other places on the coaching staff. Pete Carmichael, play calling. We just mentioned what it is that the New Orleans Saints struggled with in this game or one of the things that has led to their struggles throughout the season is kind of the lack of their playmakers being on the field at the biggest moments of the game, right? You want your big players on at big moments to make big plays. That's what we see all the time in professional sports. But then you get into a moment like what you saw tonight or what you saw Monday night, and you've got, you know, Chris Olave on the sidelines. You've got Alvin Kamara getting outsnapped by Mark Ingram early on in the game, so on and so forth. So is that really the thing that you're looking for, right? A third and one slant when you have your cheat code at third and one. And we broke down the way that the Saints have managed third downs over the course of the last few weeks, particularly since that Las Vegas Raiders game. And one of the things that we observed in that breakdown from just last week is that on third and one, or really third and 0-3, that there were situations to where you ended up seeing that, like, Taysom Hill only had one snap on all of those. And then the Saints were going like 4 of 11 in those situations. So not necessarily what you expect to see, and not necessarily what you think is going to be most successful there. So is that a route that the Saints go, you know what, we need to do something different in terms of play caller over on the offensive side, even if they keep Dennis Allen as the head coach and then give that defensive mind over. Although tonight, like I mentioned, one of the things that you were disappointed in seeing was the defense falling apart at like the biggest key moment at the end of the game. The last thing I think you look at starting this season, you have one quarterback right now that is going to be on contract for you next year, and that's Jameis Winston. And that's a maybe, right? Does Jameis stick around? Is there a reason for him to stick around after kind of the way that this has all played out thus far, all of that? That could be something that the Saints end up looking at here before this season is out, so that you get an idea of what it is that you have at that position, what it is that you need at that position. Do we finally see Jameis Winston get back out on the field at quarterback? Now, I'm not advocating one way or another. I don't know that it necessarily matters. But based upon what you have available and what you have left going into next season, Andy Dalton's not on this team next season. He's not under contract. Jake Luton is not going to be your guy. He's not the future at quarterback. Taysom Hill isn't a part of the quarterback conversation, which has been made, you know, very obvious over the course of the team's struggles here that they haven't turned to Taysom Hill. He's clearly not a part of that conversation anymore. They like him as a mix-in sort of threat. So do you just finally say, okay, yeah, Jameis is healthy. You're kind of out of this. You got a 0.6% chance of making the postseason. What do you have to lose by at least getting a look at him and finding out if he's somebody you do want to try to reinvest in over the course of the offseason? Now, what would keep the New Orleans Saints from doing that? Well, they might have already made that decision. They might have already made the decision that that is not what they want to do. And maybe that ends up making or being the kind of last straw or whatever, right? Like, they already know that that's not the route that they're going to go. But this is the time that you as a fan get to find that out. Because over the course of these last four games, which are, they're not meaningless, but there's no life beyond January 8th for this team at this point. Shouldn't you try to evaluate your roster, find out what you have, find out what you need, and find out what you don't? I think so. Coming up next, though, we're going to break that down a little bit further. What are some of the things that New Orleans Saints could stand to get a look at in the team's final four games following the bye week? Well, Jameis Winston is certainly one of them, but I would wager to say that guys like Alante Taylor and Paulson Adebo also have a lot rolling for these last four games. I'll tell you why as we continue on and wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. And today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by Audible. Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that I just know you're going to love. I want to highlight one of them for you right now because you can actually get a sneak peek of one of them called Block Forever. It's going to be available over at the Locked On NFL podcast over on the audio side. So wherever you get your podcasts, you will find that. Block Forever is a brand new podcast series from former NFL All-Pro Ryan Khalil and Audible. He's going to be taking conversations about football to the next level, visiting with star players, coaches, and many other pros to kind of get some inside knowledge on the game. They talk about player psyche. They talk about fantasy football. They talk about injuries. They talk about dealing with, let's just call them, difficult personalities in the NFL. Nothing is off limits when it comes to this podcast, and it's super awesome for you as a fan. It's available on Audible or wherever you get your podcast, discussing things like sports betting is a part of that conversation as well. Even get a little bit of Christian McCaffrey talking about his love-hate relationship when it comes to fantasy football. Lots of good stuff. So head over to Locked On NFL on the podcast side today for a sneak peek at Block Forever, or you can catch the full series on Audible or wherever you get your podcasts, available everywhere now. Audible, get in the game. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints. Let me first say, I'm talking about how this season is effectively over for the New Orleans Saints, but I want to be really, really clear that I am so grateful that you're still here and that you're still joining for the show. So whether you're watching on YouTube or you're listening wherever you get your podcasts, just know, thank you, thank you, thank you. And the season might be one that you're ready to say is over for the New Orleans Saints, but I promise you, Locked On Saints is going nowhere. We're going to have you covered throughout all of it. And a big part of what the last four games are going to be, which we'll continue to break down games, but we'll now start to kind of turn our focus to towards the offseason. Who are some of the quarterbacks in the draft to be aware of outside of the first round, maybe even inside of the first round, if the Saints end up being able to trade Sean Payton's rights? Who are some of the suitors in terms of teams for that? You know, my favorite option for them is the Los Angeles Chargers. Seems to be the one that makes the most sense. So it'll be all of those things that we'll take a look at: free agency, which players the team should keep, which players the team should let walk, all of that. So we'll start to have those types of conversations, which we'll revisit throughout the offseason as we get more and more information. But one of the other things that we're looking at are still these games and some of the decisions that need to be made throughout. So there are three key things that I'm going to be watching for the rest of the season: quarterback, cornerback, and defensive interior. I think those are the three big ones. And I might throw in a little bonus there too, that has to do with Alvin Kamara. But let me start off with quarterback, because we've kind of already talked about it, so I can kind of get through it quickly. But it is the biggest piece for the New Orleans Saints. We talked about how the most important piece when it comes to the Saints coaching staff is the head coach. The most important piece when it comes to the personnel is going to be the quarterback. It's always going to be the quarterback, right? So there are a couple of different spots that I think impact that. There's quarterback itself. There's the offensive line. Getting a look at Trevor Penning right now, fantastic idea throughout the rest of the season. I would not be disappointed to see Trevor Penning start at least two of the last four games, just so that the Saints can get a look at him in action. What that ends up impacting, of course, is your quarterback. So how do you end up getting an evaluation of the quarterbacks going into next season? The only one that's on contract next season is Jameis Winston. And he's got a player out, or he's got an out in his contract after this year. So is he actually going to make it to next year? Or has enough kind of happened with him being benched while being healthy, despite reportedly being told that that wouldn't happen? Is that enough to kind of say, I'm good here, I'm going to go somewhere else? And where is that somewhere else too? Like, that would be the other thing. Like, is there really a somewhere else for Jameis Winston to go at this point? We don't know. So I think you get a look as best you can at whichever quarterback you think you're going to try to keep in the building next year. It doesn't necessarily mean Jameis Winston. I'm using him as an example because it would be a change, but the New Orleans Saints, made the decision to keep Andy Dalton in the building next year as well, as kind of a veteran mentor for a younger quarterback that they go out and pursue. That could be a way that they go. Even if they don't go for a younger quarterback, if they go for a free agency quarterback or something like that, and then they just want to have another backup there, then Andy Dalton is somebody that obviously you've built a relationship with as an organization. And if you're getting another shot in your second year, as Dennis Allen might, then sure, maintaining some of that continuity would make sense. But I don't think Andy Dalton, under the ideal circumstances, is your starter in 2023. Him being on the roster in 2023 seems very unlikely to me based just on performance, but we'll see. Now, not that he performed poorly in this game. He was 20 of 28. He had a touchdown dropped by Jarvis Landry, or what could have been a touchdown dropped by Jarvis Landry. He had another drop pass by Taysom Hill. He had another drop pass early on by Chris Olave. I mean, there were certain things that weren't really his fault at all, but killer instinct, all of these other things, inability to finish in the red zone, blah, blah, blah. Like, these are things that we have seen over and over and over again. So I think you try to get an evaluation on that quarterback position, and in turn also try to get an evaluation on the protection for those quarterbacks and getting Trevor Penning some meaningful reps. Then the next piece that I think you look at is cornerback. Marshon Lattimore. Do you rush him back to finish out the season at any point here? Do you have him come back up against the Atlanta Falcons next week after the bye week? He was questionable all last week, questionable this week, didn't play in either week, coming back from that lacerated kidney. Do you put him at risk of going out there and potentially re-aggravating or even worsening that injury and like his quality of life? Or do you kind of put him on ice for the rest of the season, maybe give him some action later on in the year, or just say, nah, bud, sorry, but you're shut down for the rest of the year. Paulson Adebo, Alante Taylor, go ahead and figure out, who's going to be the guy next to Marshon Lattimore week one next season. I wouldn't blame the New Orleans Saints for taking some time to look at that and effectively shutting down Marshon Lattimore for the rest of the season. It might not be the ideal situation. Marshawn might hate that idea. He might be, if this gets around to him somehow, he might be like, that guy's an idiot. And honestly, I wouldn't blame him because I am an idiot, but I'm an idiot with a microphone, so I get to have opinions. And even though my opinions might be wrong. But anyway, I do think, I'm just having a little fun, but I do think that getting more of a look at like Paulson Adebo and Alante Taylor. I mean, you look at the first touchdown drive late in the game by Tampa Bay. And a part of the reason why that happens is because you have a one-on-one situation with Paulson Adebo and Mike Evans that leads to a defensive pass interference penalty, which gives them the ball basically on the one-yard line. And so those things, that allows them to punch the ball in at that point. So there are those moments that I think are things that are going to be check marks or slashes against or for Paulson Adebo, because you like the aggressiveness, but you don't like the penalty, right? But then you also saw earlier on in the game, Alante Taylor with his own penalty too. So do you take some time to continue to get these guys acclimated so that you can make an educated decision on who's going to be the starter across from Marshon Lattimore next season? Or is it of more value to actually see them across from Marshon Lattimore this season? So that could be the thing too. If they do decide to bring back Marshon late in the year, and let's say you get two more games out of him, let's say you get four more games out of him, two games with Paulson on the opposite side, two games with Alante on the opposite side, that could be a way to look over at cornerback. The last piece is defensive interior. We've seen the New Orleans Saints get gashed in the run game quite a bit. This game, not as much, but we have seen it all throughout the season. And the Saints don't have a single defensive tackle on their roster under contract for next season. That's a big deal. So I think David Onyemata is somebody you go back to and you try to get him a new contract. I don't think you have to pay him as much now as you might have thought you had to pay him, because his seasons have been pretty inconsistent. He had the suspension early on last year. I know that, but he's been pretty inconsistent. He hasn't been the guy that we're accustomed to seeing. Do you keep Kentavious Street around? Do you keep Shy Tuttle around? Very likely because of his contract situation. Do you keep, some of these other guys, Malcolm Roach, for instance? Do you keep those guys around? And some of them are going to be on restricted free agent deals, stuff like that, which gives you an opportunity to indeed keep them around. But I do think that that's a spot that you need to address in the draft and free agency, all of that. So getting a look at exactly what it is that you need there over the course of these past few games could be something that ends up changing your front seven. Because the front seven has been a little disappointing so far this season. And that has nothing to do really with the linebackers. That kind of just has everything to do with the defensive line, which continuously gets beat by opposing offensive lines. We saw several examples of that here today against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and certainly have seen it throughout the season elsewhere as well. I'll add one more because I mentioned that I might. What happens with Alvin Kamara and what is going on in terms of the usage of Alvin Kamara? I mean, the New Orleans Saints, and maybe this is where the offensive coordinator conversation really comes into play as well. I mean, a lot of the conversation around quarterback was, can you utilize Alvin Kamara? Can you utilize Alvin Kamara? Sure, you can, but it's hard to if he's not on the field. And there have been a lot of situations where you expect to see Alvin Kamara out on the field and he's not out on the field, or he's sitting in the back blocking. And that's maybe just some, you know, concern on the run game and or the pass blocking game and stuff like that. And so I do think that there's a little bit of an evaluation process even to be had there about what it's like to get back to relying on Alvin Kamara. He's got 3 touchdowns so far this season that he scored all in the same game. This is not what we're accustomed to seeing from AK and the New Orleans Saints offense. It's a bit of an identity crisis in terms of how to utilize him, how to get him out there. So either you try to get more creative in terms of your play calling, if you're Pete Carmichael, in the hopes of keeping your offensive coordinator and play calling position next season, if you still want it, or maybe you even make a change at offensive coordinator and you give, you know, or not necessarily offensive coordinator, but you make a change at passing, at play caller, and you give Ronald Curry an opportunity to call plays at the end and see what he can do with Alvin Kamara and with these weapons, so on and so forth. So there's a lot of interesting things that the Saints can do over the course of the past 5 weeks, if you include the bye week, but 4 weeks. And then having that bye week gives them time to set all of that up. There's a lot of different things that they can do, a lot of different things that they can try that keep them interesting towards the end of the season, just based upon the future output of what they might be going into 2023, based upon what they learn here in 2022. For more on that and everything else around your New Orleans Saints, make sure you keep it locked here on Locked On Saints. Tomorrow is Wednesday. So for the Wednesday episode, we usually do our film breakdown. I should get film here in a little bit, so I will do my best to get that over to you. It is 3:19 a.m. Eastern time, and we are out here grinding for you. I'm still at the stadium. I'm surprised they haven't kicked me out of here yet, London. But anyway, we're going to have it all covered for you. We'll take a look at some analytics. We'll take a look at some film. And I think, too, like, let's start talking about some of these quarterbacks in the draft. Like, why wait at this point, right? So we'll get to some of the things that you want to hear about, and whatever else you want to hear about, let me know so I can make sure that I'm looking ahead with you the way that you want. I think it's time to be very, very realistic about this team. You know, my confidence has been low, but it's time to be very, very realistic about this team. There's not going to be a postseason at this point, very likely. I mean, it would take something improbable, impossible, to really see a postseason for this New Orleans Saints team. So I don't mind looking ahead into the future as we continue to still break down what this Saints team can do. We'll look at all of that throughout the rest of the season. So as always, thank you so much for making me a part of your day, a part of your routine, for saying yes to me and the show. Thank you so much for that. And as always, if you see me, say hi, just like the homies Yancey and Jason did today. Thank y'all very much for taking the time. And of course, if you need anything else around your New Orleans Saints in between these episodes, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're momming them. And trust you, that nation, I'll holla at you.